the All Things XR podcast. Where you can get the best AR/VR analyzers from the biggest names in the field. Hi everyone, welcome to the All Things XR podcast, I'm Mojtapa. In today's episode, we talk about the current state and the future of AR and VR with our special guest, Tom Emmerich. Tom is a partner at Super Ventures and also co-producer of AWE. Hi Tom!
Hey there, how's it going?
Thanks, great. So can Tom tell us more about yourself and what you do?
Sure. So I am building communities as well as investing in augmented reality and virtual reality. I've dedicated my life to wearable technology and augmented reality for the past 5 or 6 years now. Part of that has been trying to get people into the same room to discuss and network, see what's happening in the AR and VR space through AWE, which is the world's number one XR or AR/VR event series with conference and expos that happen around the world, as well as recent as 2016, joining forces with my partner, Ori Inbar, to start a fund called Super Ventures, dedicated to investing in early stage augmented reality companies.
That's great. So Tom, as you said, Super Ventures is doing investments in AR and VR. What do you think are the best areas of investments in AR and VR right now?
Yes, that's a really good question. So our overall investment thesis is in investing in early stage companies that are creating and enhancing situational awareness, our perception, and our power to act through computer-mediated superpowers. So this is why we're called Super Ventures, using augmented reality. And we actually have 6 areas of opportunity that we have identified. The first is in mapping, or what we call the 3Dification of the real world. Mm-hmm. And so this is what's currently being known as the AR cloud, or the creation of the AR cloud, indexing the real world through object and people recognition, spatial understanding, outdoor and indoor tracking, in order to be able to understand that world and, you know, make it more contextual by overlaying information, perhaps using a mobile or a head-worn device, or to put holographic-like objects into the real world to mix it between the physical, real objects that you see every day with some extraordinary, magical, holographic-like objects that are from the augmented reality side. So that's one area that we're looking at. So any technology that can enable that is very much a foundational layer for augmented reality. Building upon that, we also are looking at world-building tools, so platforms, tools, and apps for creating, managing, optimizing, and monetizing 3D and XR content and solutions. So this is really making it easier for developers, creators, and non-coders like advertisers and publishers to build upon this foundation that I just talked about when the world is 3D-fied, to create, you know, augmented reality experiences. The third area that we look at is what we consider sensing opportunities, or the digitization of perception. So enhancing our human perception through digitized senses like artificial vision, augmented hearing, haptics, emotion recognition. So this is all talking about computer-mediated sensory experiences, where we may be investing in solutions like gloves or wearable clothing that allows for the computer to make us feel something, or in augmented hearing solutions that allow for the computer to whisper in our ear, or even display technology and advancements in display that let us see things that aren't really there in the real world, as in the case of head-worn devices. The three other categories that we are currently looking at is in natural interaction and full sensory interfaces. So this talks about hardware and software solutions that allow us to more naturally interact with this next wave, like gesture, gaze, new controllers, voice. And we're also looking at more on the solution side, solutions that enable shared presence. So advancements in communication, collaboration, and storytelling that overcome the barriers of time, space, language, and modality. And also solutions that allow us to upgrade ourselves, giving us superpowers, access to a universal knowledge aggregate, for example, that enhance our intelligence, or devices and solutions that instantly allow us to master skills to increase our productivity and help us to be our best selves in whatever we want to do.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So Tom, as you said, you are also investing in AR Cloud. Can you tell our listeners what actually AR Cloud is and why it is so important for the future of AR?
Yes, well, I mean, if you take a look at the current wave of computing, the web, you know, the web was indexed by Google and then therefore made sense of, and we can make use of the internet because of that indexing. So it's a very, very similar to what is necessary when we want to make our computing exist in the real world. Companies need to help the computer both see and understand and map out this real world in order for developers to be able to create upon it. And so this is the what we're coining the creation of the AR cloud. My partner Ori Imbar coined the term the AR cloud, and it's stuck ever since. And so there are many different companies that are going at mapping the world. Google, Uber, startups like 6D.ai. And this is essentially creating the mesh, basically the fabric, the digital fabric of the real world, the chairs, the people, the environments. And this is necessary for a couple of reasons. And it really unlocks some powerful augmented reality features, including multiplayer, the ability for more than one person to experience an augmented reality solution at one given time. It also allows for persistence. Which means that if you were to drop, let's say, an augmented reality object into the environment, like a digital chair, and then come back the next day, that chair would still be there in the same location. Mm-hmm. It also allows for occlusion, which means that if we were to have a real chair and then put a virtual or a digital bunny behind it, the bunny would look like it's coming from behind the chair, or it could hide behind the chair. And overall, the actual mesh itself allows for the augmented reality experience to feel more real, to be more social, and be much more effective at creating that magical experience that we are all expecting it to perform.
Uh-huh. Who do you think will build the AR cloud, and will it be a single company, or it will be crowdsourced or some other kind?
Well, right now the world is very large and it's ever changing. And so there are a number of companies at play that are creating various solutions that leverage different types of devices and inputs to manifest this fabric, this mesh. And so for the time being, it's going to take a village to be able to create the AR cloud.
Mm-hmm. Great. So do you think that there will be a central AR cloud application, or there will be multiple for different use cases?
I think time will tell. You know, the description that I gave you for the AR cloud, meaning a computer being able to understand the environment or have a mapped environment, mm-hmm. Being used for augmented reality is essentially just really one use case of it. Uh-huh. Of course, when a computer understands the world, leveraging AI, there's a lot of statistics and data findings that can be deemed from the use of that same mesh. And so, you know, this mapping of the world can very much be utilized within that more IoT setting, as it were. So depending on what is being scanned and what is being stored, how it's being scanned, at what level level and what depth that scan can be accessed. Mm-hmm. You know, there may very well be many different maps that developers can access depending on what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah, definitely. So Tom, Magic Leap, probably the most famous AR company right now, started shipping its first version of its headsets. What do you think about that? Have you tried them yet?
I think Magic Leap's launch is an amazing achievement for a startup, albeit the startup has raised a lot of money and obviously has a lot of team members. But look, the device is like very similar to HoloLens, which mm-hmm. is an extremely powerful mixed reality or augmented reality head-worn device, you know, arguably the best in the market. It was launched in 2016. Mm-hmm. There are some great improvements on the form factor, as well as within the technology that you can argue Magic Leap has compared to this 2016 model from Microsoft. But I think we should take a moment to celebrate this win from Magic Leap in that a startup has created from scratch, for all intents and purposes, a really powerful augmented reality device, which is very indicative of what we're able to achieve right now with the technologies at hand. So, you know, I'm continually excited to see what Magic Leap comes up with. And I think that this device will help, hopefully, the developer community and brands and just the tech community at large to continue their education and their experimentation within augmented reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally agree. Tom, you had a very interesting talk in this year's AWE about the death of reality. Can you tell us more about what you mean by that and how our current reality will be disrupted by technologies like AR and VR?
Yes, I wanted to take a more cultural approach to mm-hmm. explaining what's happening to augmented reality and virtual reality and its impact on humanity. I think it's really interesting to take a moment to not just look at the technological advancements and the solutions that are coming out, but how these solutions and these technologies are going to change us as humans. And that was the crux of the talk that I gave at AWE. I looked at a number of ways that I saw XR or AR VR changing mm-hmm. What it means to be human today, including the death of physical materialism and the rise of digital consumption, essentially talking and alluding to a time where if we were to start wearing smart glasses on a regular basis, where the world can be constructed, purchased, and manifested by the click of a button or a line of code, could it potentially change what our physical consumption patterns are today and even the weight that we give to materialism? We no longer necessarily need to decorate our home, for example, because we could do that digitally. We could change the paint on the paint color on our walls. We could change what that ordinary chair looks like. We could even change what the clothing looks like on our bodies through the use of augmented reality. So when that becomes persistent, does that mean that it changes our value in material goods? Does it change how much we physically consume in the real world? Does it shift it to more of a digital consumption where we're now consuming more digital goods? This was a question that I posed, and I kind of explored some of the seeds of that in what we're seeing today. Another example that I gave is in The Death of Death, mm-hmm. which talks about the potential rise of digital immortality, where we're already seeing holographic performances by Elvis and Tupac. And so if we were to upload our personality to the cloud, if we are continuing to document our lives as we are today, and we have access to 3D scans of our bodies through the use of projection mapping or through the use of smart glass technology, could we come back to life after we have died to tell the stories of our lives, or even through the use of AI, tell new stories if new questions are being asked? So these are just a few of the examples that I went over on The talk that I gave at AWE, which is on YouTube now in the AWE channel. Yeah. And I really just wanted to make sure that the audience and also the viewers of this video understand the gravity and the impact of these technologies. AR especially is going to and is already starting to create a huge economic, technological, and cultural shift. And so I think it's important that we insert this as part of the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I think we will eventually have multiple parallel universes alongside our current one. Elon Musk even puts it further by saying we are actually living in a simulation. But let's say we are not for now. Do you think that we'll have a one dominated universe, for example, like Oasis or like today's forums and communities, there will be multiple universes in the form of AR and VR in the future?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, and time will really tell. I mean, we don't have just one website that we go to currently. But we do have, for all intents and purposes, one web that we go to, mm-hmm. I guess, at least from the consumer's perspective, that's what it seems. I don't know. I think that for the time being, it's really going to be the wild, wild west, and there will be different portals and different environments that will pop up. I suspect that there will definitely be some dominant digital worlds that we would want to visit that will have the critical mass. This is one of the big questions that I think is a great one to continue to have. And once we have that ability to change our perspective, our computer now mediated perspective, what perspective are we all seeing or are we all engaging with? Right now, somehow very magically in real reality, we've all, come on the same page. And for the most part, we see things the same way. If I'm in a room with you, mm-hmm. we can both say those are two chairs across from us, and we can describe the room and pretty much be on the same page. In an augmented reality world where we're wearing smart glasses, how do we reconcile that perception? That's a big question that I also have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. So, Tom, in recent years, big companies have shown interest in AR and VR. We had both Apple and Google introducing their own AR frameworks, and also other companies like Facebook, Microsoft, Snapchat are also showing interest in the field. What do you think about these big players getting into the field? And do you think that they will also dominate these new fields, or there's a chance that a new player becomes the Google or Apple of AR and VR?
Yes, exactly. So I think that number one, to the first question, that having all these players involved and engaged and heavily invested in AR and VR puts that stamp of approval and the confidence in the ecosystem that we needed and exactly. that we need in order for it to move forward. So the fact that they are all in means that this is happening. Mm-hmm. When it will all come together is the question. But since all of these big parties and these big entities are doing R&D, rolling out operating system updates, new hardware, have a distinct focus on the developer ecosystem, and have all verbally committed to this as the next wave, it means that there's no longer an ability to ignore it. It means that everybody needs to have this on their roadmap, and they need to be getting involved in some way to prepare for this big shift. So that's number one. Will there be some, some shakeups in who will dominate, augmented reality and virtual reality? I think we've already seen those. I mean, mm-hmm. On the virtual reality side, would we have guessed that Facebook would now be in the hardware market and mm-hmm. that through Oculus, they're one of the two most powerful virtual reality players at this time, arguably.
Yeah.
So that was quite interesting. And even on the augmented reality end, although on the mobile side of the fence, Google and Apple continue to dominate with AR Core and AR Kit. We are seeing some interesting players there, like Snap. Niantic is definitely a company to keep your eye on.
Exactly.
Companies like Uber and Amazon and even Facebook themselves have the potential to play in this space. Will they be able to topple the duopoly that is currently existing in the smartphone market when the headset market shakes down. I'm not quite sure. We'll see. But I definitely feel as though because we're now talking about, indexing the real world, having computing live amongst us in the real world, those companies that have been mapping the real world for perhaps other purposes, and have been collecting images, like in the case of Instagram, are well positioned to play within this space. And so it's prudent to keep your eyes on them.
So, regarding these big companies, how do you weigh them? Which one do you think has the best chance?
Well, I don't necessarily know if I weight them. I'm just like looking at and analyzing them, but I think it's important to know that it's impossible to take a look at these companies from an XR perspective, meaning both AR and VR. Even within augmented reality, there are many different formats of augmented reality in play, including projection mapping, heads-up displays, and windshields. Mobile augmented reality and head-worn augmented reality. Until we get to that point where we're all wearing glasses on a regular basis, which is, our overall vision and goal, and those glasses do both augmented reality and virtual reality. Each of these legs have their own races to be run. And so on the mobile side, I think I've already mentioned this, it's definitely Google and Apple that have very powerful platforms in place, mostly because they have access, at least Apple especially, and that's their distinct moat to both the hardware and software layer. Although with Google Pixel, Google now has that as well. And so I think if you're really interested in what's happening today and in the immediate term for augmented reality, keeping your focus on those players, as well as some startups that are allowing for developers to be able to create cross-platform, like 8th Wall, or to be able to do more robust feature sets like 6D is doing with their AR cloud solution through occlusion and persistence capabilities and their SDK. This is where I would spend a lot of attention, especially if you're a brand or if you're a developer that's looking to have a solution that can get in the hands or at least have the eyeballs of the mainstream and have that scale.
Great. So, Tom, both of us, I know that bet more on AR, but how do you compare AR and VR in the parallel universes we talked about? Do you think that we will have multiple layers over our current reality, or we will completely immerse ourselves in new realities in VR, which will be more dominant?
That's a very interesting question, and I think it depends on the state of the world as this continues to evolve and how much we want to be here. And it may not be an all or nothing type scenario. I mean, the way that virtual reality is headed and the journey that it's on right now is to evolve entertainment. Virtual reality is the evolution of gaming. It's adding interesting aspects into the mix for theme parks and out-of-home entertainment, which has now been considered the LBE space or location-based entertainment space. It could be the evolution of the movie theater, the evolution of the TV, the evolution of the game console. Its simulation qualities allow us to escape. And so wherever we want to escape this world, that's where virtual reality will succeed. Will we want to completely escape this world in the future? Again, time will tell. There are many dystopic sci-fi books and movies that allude to this type of future. If we take a look at our current behavior, especially in our engagement with social media, our engagement with TV and videos and movies, I'd argue that right now we do want to escape from our life on a regular basis. So you could say that based on our current patterns, we may actually end up being in virtual reality more than we think. That being said, of course, augmented reality is a main focus because of its ability to make us more productive, its ability to enhance this world, allowing us to engage in both digital and physical aspects at the same time. So it is fully expected that we will spend more time in augmented reality because the majority believe that we want to be here, that we still want to talk to mom and dad and friends and coworkers, and that we don't want to give up on what we're considering currently our definition of what makes us human, which is being here rooted in this world and interacting with the material world as we know it.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, if we are able to enhance this world while still maintaining, you know, a certain percentage of it, it could actually create a world where we may want to be here more, thus decreasing our need to escape fully with virtual reality. So I think they're not necessarily at odds. Again, like, this is really a spectrum of realities where we are going to be able to choose between a raw reality, which is the one we're used to now, an augmented one, which is a mixed, and then a completely virtual one on the other end. And so it'll be interesting to see, and eventually we will start to see reports being published, I'm sure, of how much time is being spent in each of these realities as these technologies mature.
Yeah. Getting back to the current state of AR and VR, what do you think are the bottlenecks and what are the most important obstacles right now in AR and VR?
Well, talking about mobile AR, obviously this is a stopgap. We have the democratization of AR tools through ARKit and ARCore, as well as now startups have been able to start to roll out beta SDKs, which is fantastic. So the tools are there, but arguably the device that you hold in your hand is not very natural, and therefore the experiences that can be had in augmented reality need to be short and quick and snackable for the most part. And so they're not the full magical experiences that we've seen in some of the concept videos that have been out there. So that limitation on mobile is mostly the form factor. The hardware itself now has, you know, depth sensing kits. The cameras are getting better. Of course, the software and the hardware is singing. It's only going to get better on mobile, I think, and we're going to continue to see amazing augmented reality experiences as early as 2019, and they're just going to get better and better and better. But again, like, the need to hold it up, the arm gets tired. Also, the mobile device has a very small field of view, so it's more like a little window to the world. So there's some challenges there on the mobile AR side. And as we know, the mobile AR form factor is really just buying time for when the obstacles can be removed for smart glass or head-worn AR. One thing that I should say, that both smart glass and head-worn AR, as well as mobile AR, will run up against in terms of challenges is battery life, processing power, and the need for high-speed connectivity. Mm-hmm. So 5G networks are very, very critical to be in play for us to have really great augmented reality experiences, advancements in battery, so that as we're engaging in both web augmented reality and application augmented reality experiences, our camera is going to be on, which, as we know, with a camera being on, it eats the battery.
Yeah.
You know, we need our devices to last more than an hour or two. They're already dying on us now very quickly. Mm-hmm. They're going to die even quicker if we have augmented reality on all the time. And so these same challenges, then, if we switch gears to head-worn augmented reality, are the same challenges. So we have challenges with connectivity, battery life, processing power, which battery life and processing power means that it impacts the weight and the size of the headset. You know, HoloLens, for example, is like a computing machine on your head. And
yeah,
it's bigger than Magic Leap, because Magic Leap has decided to offset that compute power to a hip pack, right? And so that hip pack has allowed for their head-worn device to be lighter and to be more wearable. And the wearability of a head-worn AR device is an issue, not really an issue, I would say, I guess more of a challenge. And so right now you're seeing devices that look like devices. And it's very much similar to the beginnings of smartwatches and fitness bands that we saw back in 2014, 2015, where these devices looked like computer devices on your wrist. And eventually they became more fashionable. They still have a ways to go. That's the same journey that the smart glass or head-worn devices need to have. In addition, I mean, like, you know, you should know that Magic Leap and HoloLens, which are arguably the most powerful of the augmented or or mixed reality devices, they have a very tricky time being used in different lighting conditions. They can't be used out. They cannot be used outdoors. And this is something that needs to be noted, because obviously we don't live in an indoor environment. Of course, it's very conducive to an office worker, for example, who's indoors the majority of their time. It's conducive to home use, I would say, arguably. But for these to be everyday devices, we're going to need to figure out a way for them to be used in all lighting conditions. And then there's a whole other list of technological challenges that need to be solved for, really, until these devices are ready for a full consumer rollout, I would say. And so, you know, with Magic Leap launching just this week, and looking at where we are with HoloLens, although we're expecting a new HoloLens to be coming out soon, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see the leaps and bounds that Microsoft has been able to make. Again, 2016 is when we saw the first HoloLens, so it's been 2 years. But you should see us as not being at the iPhone moment yet in head-worn AR. In fact, I would say we're a little bit more akin to the suitcase phone, the suitcase cellular phone, which came out, which is a really big, bulky device that, yes, it could be portable, but lugging it around on a regular basis with you is not really what people are going to do. So we have a little ways to go in order to get to that iPhone moment that everyone's waiting for.
Yeah. So you mentioned HoloLens and also Magic Leap. What do you think about Meta 2? Isn't it the best on the market right now? I haven't tried Magic Leap, but Meta 2 has the best FOV right now.
That's true. Meta does have the best FOV, and it's my miss for not continuing to include them in the mix. I will caveat that there are a lot of AR and MR headsets that I have not mentioned on this podcast that I encourage everybody to take a look at, including monocular and heads-up displays that are being used in the enterprise. And Meta, of course, is being used in the enterprise as well, rightfully so, based on the advancements that they've been able to make, especially on the field of view. They have the widest field of view, or FOV, as it's being called. And for those that are listening, the reason why field of view is important is because as the device is on your face, you want to be able to see as much as possible the world around you, and then those digital objects or digital information in your natural line of sight. You don't want to make it seem like you're looking through a small computer window that's hanging off your head. Big kudos to Meta and their continual evolution of their device. It is now the Meta 2. So they have really focused on the field of view as one of their big differentiators. Mm-hmm. And that kind of brings me to another point where there's not really one all-in-one magical device. I mean, they all have trade-offs. HoloLens to Magic Leap, Magic Leap to Meta 2. So it'll be interesting to see how these all continue to evolve.
Yeah, exactly. So Tom, what do you think will be the killer app of AR and VR? And when do you think that these technologies will be truly mainstream?
Well, the killer application of mobile augmented reality right now, and I suspect for the immediate future, is the democratization of special effects. Uh-huh. And so what I mean by that is we are currently creating a lot of content. We've always been storytellers, but with social media, YouTube, with a camera on our phone, with the ability to take video on our phone, with easy editing tools, including the ability to make podcasts like this. Uh-huh. We're all telling digital stories on a regular basis, but we've been doing that for a while now. And I think that we're getting a little bit bored with everyday, ordinary pictures and videos. But a lot of us don't have the skills to be able to take that to the next level. And with augmented reality, including examples like Snap's face filters or World Lens, we've already started to play with technology that allows us to turn everyday moments into extraordinary, magical moments. And so I think that this is going to be what is going to convince the mainstream that augmented reality is a very useful technology for them to be able to take a picture of their backyard and bring it to life with a unicorn running around, for example. And be able to play with these new creator tools that are really aimed at making animation and special effects easy for the mainstream. I think this is where we're going to see a lot of activity, alongside with the ability to turn ourselves into avatars and the use of these avatars in various different areas, including an example that I just gave, the use of your backyard. Like right now, if I take a picture of my backyard, I'm not in that picture because I'm the photo taker. But if I use my Bitmoji, I could put my Bitmoji in that backyard. So now I'm actually in the picture in some way. So that's really interesting to think about. So being able to put yourself in pictures, being able to use yourself as an avatar, when you're doing a FaceTime chat or a video chat or sending a voice note, I think this as well is going to be part of the augmented reality initial onboarding that we're going to see through mobile augmented reality moving forward. What the killer app is going to be when head-worn devices are on our faces. I mean, I think one of them could be the ability to know everything at all times. We're able to gain that superpower. So if the computer has the necessary context and the machine learning and AI is all there, and it's able to process what it's seeing in front of us, it could identify faces and things, and not only tell us what we're looking at, which we often now have to look up on Google, for example, or Yelp, but it can also tell stories about those people and objects, places, to help us understand the past, which is kind of interesting. I think that is going to be a killer application for augmented reality, the augmentation of our memory, as it were, allowing us to know everything, allowing us to not just know everything now, but know everything of what's happened up until this time. That's going to be a very, very powerful dynamic and change in what it means to be human in the next 10, 15, 20 years.
Great. Well, Tom, thanks very much for joining the All Things XR podcast.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.